Guys, let's pray. Can we? Can we pray? I just got a little challenge for you guys tonight. And so I just want to pray. Father, I love you, Lord. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, I ask for you to be in this room tonight. Right here, right now. God, I pray that everybody that's here, that they would hear what you want them to hear. God, I know that there's a battle that goes on pretty much every week at this time when we open your word. So, Father, I pray that we would be laser focused on what you have for us right now. God, nobody's here by accident. Everybody's here for a reason. And there's something that you want each one of us to take from this night. So, God, I pray that you would speak to every one of us right here, right now. Father, I pray that you would just move this group, move through this room. Open our eyes, open our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. So clearly it's a Stranger Things theme tonight, and I think most of you have said you've seen the show, not everybody, but in Stranger Things, there's this alternate reality, basically, called the Upside Down. If you've never seen the show, I'm not going to give you a whole lot about it, and I guess a little bit of spoiler alert for season one is there's a kid named Will Byers that gets pulled into this alternate reality called the Upside Down, and his friends, as well as some other people, essentially are trying to get him out. And in many ways, the Upside Down is a reverse version, if you will, of the real world. Okay, so it's like the real world that we're in, but it's like a reverse version where everything is like death and decay and so like it would look like this room, except it would be, you know, little white floaty things everywhere, and there would be like weird stuff on the wall, not just lights on the wall. And if you're wondering what the lights are, for those of you that haven't seen the show, there's when Will is trapped in the Upside Down and he's trying to communicate, his mom hangs up Christmas lights and puts the letters of the alphabet underneath the Christmas lights, and he lights up each letter to spell out things, to try to communicate, to try to get out of the Upside Down. And in this world, not only is everything like death and decay and decrepit and gross, and it's hard to breathe and all of that stuff, but there's monsters that live there that are trying to get out and basically eat people. And for some reason, there are people that are also trying to get in to this area and trying to control it. And here's the weird thing, and I'm going to start off with, I guess, something weird since it's Stranger Things, is this idea that the Upside Down, in many ways, is real. In many ways, the Upside Down is real. This idea of an alternate reality that exists in a spiritual realm that affects us. And being ignorant to that, or just denying that it exists, is exactly what the enemy wants, because there is this alternate reality, there is this battle for your soul and for mine, and for the things that happen in our lives that we're going to talk about, and the things that we go through, the things that we see, there is this possibility of an upside down version, if you want to call it that. And there are these spiritual realms that where there is battle taking place. And you are in a battle, whether you realize it or not, all the time. It's what is referred to as spiritual warfare. And we can be completely ignorant to it, which just means like we don't know, which I would say is probably some of you. You probably never like heard it this way. But we can also just kind of deny it and go, that's whatever. That just sounds like mumbo jumbo. But the Bible's really clear about the struggle against the spiritual forces, and I'm going to show it to you in God's Word here. If you've got your Bible app, I'm sure you saw it up there. You can pull up the Bible app and follow along here. But Ephesians chapter 6 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There it is, right there. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand." See, spiritual warfare, we hear that and we hear some of these things and we start thinking about things like demon possession and territorial spirits and stuff like that. And what I'm talking about is not so much that. And it's not that I'm going to say those things don't happen. But what I'm talking about that directly affecting you is things like overcoming Satan's lies and deceit in our life. This is the real kind of upside down spiritual warfare that's happening all the time. All the time. It probably has happened tonight, maybe on your way, maybe since you've been here. Maybe it's happening right now. It might be happening right now. That battle might be happening literally right now where you're trying to decide, am I going to pay attention or am I going to tune them out? Because I know waffles are coming in 10 minutes. Am I even going to pay attention? Because that's the kind of spiritual warfare that's happening where things start pulling us aside in these spiritual realms. Here's the deal. You have been in the upside down. You have. Next one, please, Lauren. You have been there. You have been in the upside down. When you struggle with what to do, when you struggle with right and wrong, when you're struggling with the good and the bad, you're flirting with the upside down. When you give in to temptation, when you give in to temptation, you're in the upside down. When you deal with the consequences of the battle that, and it feels like your reality has changed, the reality that you maybe were in has now changed. And it feels like everything that you know, the reality that you lived in, has just changed into this wasteland. And you're like, man, this looks familiar, but it's not what I thought it would be. This place that I'm in. And you feel like maybe there's just monsters chasing you around. You feel like there's no escape. You feel like there's no way out. So here's the deal. We all have a sinful nature, and it's very easy to let that sinful nature control us because it's natural for us to go against what God wants for our lives. It's natural for us to go against that. And the next thing we know, we're somewhere where we don't want to be, and we don't know how we got there, and we're doing things that we didn't think that we would do. We're in this place, and all of a sudden, and we don't know how to get out. And we're like, what do I do? You're in the upside down, right? You're in that place. Check out this verse here, Romans 8. It says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. See, our sinful nature can control our minds, and when it does that, it leads us to death. That's the upside down thing that I'm talking about. When we let the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, control our mind, it can lead us to life and can lead us to peace. It's pretty simple, but it's actually really, really difficult in many ways. Check this verse out. I'm sure some of you can relate to this, list that's going to be here in this verse. Maybe. Go to Galatians 5, learn for me. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Check this list out. Tell me if any of you can relate. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful desires, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Black and white. Well, it's red, actually, but you know what I'm saying. It's very clear. These are the things that pull us down. Maybe you haven't seen a list like this. It's in the Bible, and it's pretty all-inclusive. We get caught in these things because we let the desires of our sinful nature take over, and all of a sudden we're in the upside down, and so then we got a problem. What do we do? How do we get out? What do we do with this when we get drug into those times? Because it happens to all of us. See, we think changing our circumstances is going to make everything better. and we try to fight by changing our circumstances, and we scratch and claw by trying to change those things. But see, we need to fight this upside down thing in an upside down way, because we think by changing our circumstances, the circumstances that got us there, oh, well, if I just do the reverse of that, I'll be fine. And we don't even think about tapping into the power of God. Maybe it's because we don't even have a relationship with God, and we don't even really have the Holy Spirit within us. Maybe it's because it's the last thing we think about instead of the first thing. But the battle's not on the outside, it's on the inside, guys. We need to fight that battle on the inside before we worry about the outside. Because when you take care of the inside, meaning your relationship with God and the way that you're living your life spiritually, it's going to affect the outside stuff. Doesn't mean it's going to change every single circumstance, but it's going to put that in a Jesus perspective. And you're going to see stuff on the outside from a Jesus perspective because you've taken care of the inside. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We can't fight like we think we should. We have to use spiritual weapons. On the contrary, it says, "They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." So how are we fighting? If you have to narrow it down, obedience. Obedience to God. What does that look like? I don't have to tell you guys necessarily what that looks like. It's the opposite of what what that verse was saying. And it's not just the things that we do, but it's spending time growing yourself on the inside and getting closer to Jesus on the inside will take care of the behaviors and circumstances on the outside. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. We started with Galatians 5, 19 through 21, when it talks about anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it had that list of stuff. Now look at this in verse 22. But the Holy Spirit, meaning the first one's saying when you follow your sinful nature, all of those terrible things end up being a result. But when the Spirit of God produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. See, we want to do the sinful, bad things. Sin looks fun. Those things, it looks like we want to go into the upside down. We get curious and we want to step in there and we want to check that out. And the next thing we know, we've been sucked in and we don't know how to get out. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So what's our connection point for the night? I told you it was quick tonight, but it's simply this: only walking with Jesus daily will keep you out of the upside down. It's a daily battle, you guys. It's a daily battle. It's not a one-time thing. It's not just I went to church on Wednesday night, or I went on Friday night, or I went on Sunday morning, and so I'm good. That's great. And I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you come when you do, and all those things. That's awesome. It's great. It really is. But if you think being in here is the only weapon that you need to battle against that stuff, you're nuts. Think about how many hours there are in a week. I'll tell you how many hours there are outside of the 1 hour that maybe you're in church on Sundays. You got 167 left. What are you doing with those? That's a whole lot of hours that you're not giving to the Lord that maybe you have to give to school. I get that. You have to give to the other things that are going on in your life. I understand that. But are we walking through those things with the Holy Spirit? Are we walking through those things with Jesus? Or are we just getting sucked into the upside down and then wondering what happened and trying to figure out how to get out, as opposed to taking care of the inside? See, the way that we can define victory in spiritual warfare, the way that we can win in this spiritual battle that's happening for you every moment, because it's happening, right? There's a spiritual battle going when you're sitting here trying to decide, do I look at my phone? Do I not? If you're looking at it for your notes or whatever for this, don't take that wrong. Do I listen to the distractions that maybe Satan's putting in my head right now that's making me think about something else? Or do I just maybe not even go because I just don't feel like it because I'm tired? Or I'm not going to do my Bible study this morning because I was out too late last night doing maybe some things I shouldn't have been doing. Those are all things that pull us down into the ups. And we could keep going. And each of you have a different circumstance or a different time that you can think of when you've been in that, quote, upside down. But you know the way that we can actually see victory, and that's through one word, love. You want to know the way to have victory in spiritual warfare? It's love. And here's what I mean by that. Satan doesn't understand that. Satan doesn't understand love. He is not capable of comprehending the fact that people would give themselves for another person, that they would not be concerned with only what's good for them, but with what's good for other people. The weapons of his warfare, and tell me if you've experienced these before. I have. Unforgiveness, anger, pride, temptation to self-serving motives, sinful gratification, meaning like I feel gratified because I've participated in this sin, but you really don't when it's all said and done. All those things come from focusing on yourself. And love is not about focusing on yourself. It's about focusing on him. It's maybe about focusing on others. We don't have to fear Satan. We don't have to fear the upside down, because yeah, honestly, there's a battle going on in the spiritual realms all the time, because Satan doesn't want to lose any more people to God. And there's plenty of scripture on that stuff. But here's the deal. As believers, if you're a believer, see, the Holy Spirit and Satan cannot occupy, God and Satan cannot occupy the same space. So if you've accepted Christ, if you're a believer, if you're a follower in Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, Satan cannot possess, if you will, that space, cannot control that space. So as believers, we don't have to fight for victory because Jesus has already won. Jesus has already won. We've already won. We just have to claim it. We just have to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that we have. And what scares me, what worries me about you guys, about your generation, and about you guys specifically, like individually, personally, is that you don't realize the power that you have if you're a follower of Jesus. You don't realize that he's walking with you every step of the way. Every minute, every moment. You don't realize that the Holy Spirit is right there to help you, because too many times we just tell him to shut up and he'll listen if you tell him enough times. So we ignore that and we get ourselves into the upside down. But you know what? Jesus is always there. He doesn't ask you to crawl out. All you have to do is turn around and he meets you right there. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've already won. You just need to claim it. You need to know it. And you need to listen when the Holy Spirit tells you, when you know you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, when you know that you shouldn't be here or you shouldn't be there, when you know you're involved maybe in a conversation that you shouldn't be in, Guys, this is tough. This is a daily battle, myself included. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment battle. I was talking with somebody this morning at Dunkin' Donuts about this exact thing, about how we need to always keep our guard up. We need to always keep our guard up. Is it just a mindset? If you want to look at it that way, I guess. But it's much more than that. It's much more than a mindset. It's walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus daily is the only way to keep you out of there. And you're going to do better some days than others. But guess what? He's right there with his arm right around you. We need to just quit doing this and remember that he's there and listen to him when he's telling us. Listen to him when he's there, because he wants nothing more than for you to be able to claim that victory in your life and to walk forward. And he wants to do something amazing through your life. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes if you could. And I'm just going to pray here for just a minute. Some of you guys are going through some stuff. You're going through some stuff. You walked in here with some stuff. You walked in here with some junk, and you might feel like you're sitting in the upside down right now. You might feel like you're there. And you might feel like you have no idea what to do about it. Let me just say that Jesus is right there. All you got to do is turn around. All you got to do is turn around, and he's right there. You just have to reach out. There may be somebody in here that doesn't even have a relationship with Jesus. You haven't even begun that. Because for you to be able to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to have the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, I'll just ask it this way. I'll just get really blunt. I want you, every single person in here, in fact, don't bow your head, look at me. Everybody look at me for a second. I want you to ask yourself this question right now. I'm just going to get real for just a minute. If you were to stand before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? That's a tough question. And yeah, it's a setup question, because God's not actually going to say that. But honestly, think about that. You're standing before God. He says, why do I let you in? What do you say? If you don't know what to say, I'd love to talk to you tonight, because we got time. Yeah, we got waffles, but we got time to talk. If you don't know what to say, this is the most important question you'll ever answer. Who do you say that he is? If you were to stand before him right now, why should I let you in? Right there's heaven, but why should I let you in? What do you say? If you want to talk about that tonight, come find me. Come find one of the leaders that are right here. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you, Lord. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you sent your son. You sent your son to take our place and die for us. And Lord, I thank you so much that, God, that you fight for us. Lord, help us to fight. Help us to punch Satan in the face, as we like to say. Lord, because he tries to come at us with all the different kinds of things that he throws in our way, all the different punches and kicks that he tries with all the different kinds of schemes, Lord. All the different lies. Lord, with one of the biggest ones being the fact that we just ignore that he's even there. We just ignore the things that are going on. And Lord, I pray that none of us would be ignorant tonight. All of us would realize the spiritual battle that's going on all the time, and the spiritual warfare that's happening all the time, Lord, and that we would tap into your power. Tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, to make good choices, to make good decisions, Lord, moving forward. God, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know what they would say if they were to stand before you and you said, why should I let you into my heaven? Lord, I pray that they would tonight put their faith and trust in you, regardless of what they've done in their past. Lord, we know that our future in you can be eternity. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would continue to move tonight. Thank you for the food that we're going to have, for the hands that's prepared it. Pray you give us a great rest of the night. Thank you for this chance to be here tonight, Lord, and I thank you for each and every student and leader that are here. Father, continue to move in Jesus' name.